I need that. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you, Ify. Cool. Good stuff. All right. Can you guys hear me? Is that good there? Good morning, everyone. Good morning and welcome to the church. If you're visiting for the first time, my name is Andrew. Let's put that away. My name is Andrew, and I'll be sharing the message this morning. If you don't know, I'm a math teacher, so please don't use that as against me, please. And I'm a math teacher. I know especially high school students don't like me. Some do, but on the majority, because being a math teacher, that changes. So, so my name is Andrew. My wife, Marisol, will be sharing the community message later. What we're looking at this morning is we've been doing a series on what is church? What is church all about? We're in part five, and we're looking at quite a few things. You might say, okay, what is church? And you might say, Drew, where have you been the last 2 weeks? I've been away. We were on a holiday. 2 weeks back, we were with the Beelts away, and then the week before, that week, we were with the Beelts and the Puckies. That was a fun time away down the South Coast. So it's kind of ironic that I'm sharing about people of God and being in church, but not being a church. But obviously, we're with a small community in that space. On, and last week, we were in Pretoria for Eden's baby shower. It was really cool. Just to encourage her. And we got so many gifts. We feel like we were like the carriers to take gifts up to Pretoria. And we got to spend time with family there. So that's where I've been the last 2 weeks. This morning, we're looking at the people of God. What is the people of God and defining what that is? Is there a clicker? Can I get the clicker? Can I steal, please? There you go. And for those who have been away, including myself, we've been looking at the way the church is the way. Jesus is the way, but obviously, by extension, the way there's a way of his people. We looked at the temple of God. Lo started us off in the series officially in the temple of God. Then we looked at Duncan did an amazing message on the bride of Christ. We are his bride. We are a beautiful bride. So men, you're a bride. You're a bride of Christ. We need to understand what it means. Duncan was reminding us on Thursday that we are his bride. And Lo, I listened to his message as well. He did look on God's household. What are the standards in the household? How do we live this out? We don't always live it perfectly, but we have an expectation and a household to look after. And then Andita last week, unfortunately the recording wasn't taken last week, but Andita did an amazing message and the content was really great. I don't know exactly what he said, but I'm sure it was great because the scriptures were great on God's truth. What is truth? Finding what is truth. And I think I want to emphasize a few things from that. And luckily, my message has to regard to truth. So hopefully, what I'm sharing you is the truth. But for us, when we get to the Bible, we need to be able to read it and say, okay, is Andrew speaking the right word? I'm a math teacher. Maybe I'm wrong. As a math teacher, I can be incorrect sometimes, but I have to be open to correction. So we have to open our Bibles. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. So what I'm doing this morning is the people of God. What is the people of God? And this will be our core scripture, and I'll be jumping a bit in and out of the scripture this morning. We're looking at what is the people of God. Okay, let's all turn there, please. We're in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 8 to 10. And I have 3 points this morning, and I'll be reminding us and going through it. I think it's important points. There are more points about God's people, but I think for me, what's applicable this morning, what's most important for us to live out this morning, that we need to grow in, is understanding these 3 points. So the first point is his people are loved and love. His people live in the light, and his people are obedient. So we'll hopefully unpack what that means during the course of this message. So let's read the scripture. 1 Peter chapter 2. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So those are the main points. So this point this morning, we need to understand, and as we get to the scripture, his people are loved and love. What does that first mean? We are loved by God. We need to understand that God loves us so much. And it might seem simple, but it's really often hard to understand that and connect with that. God loves us so much. If you come here this morning, you don't feel loved by God. That's why I said, tell someone you love them. And God loves you, and you hope you love them as well. But again, if we are loved, we get to love those around us. In Ephesians 4, verse 2, don't need to go there, but we can see we are completely humble. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. Be patient with me, please, as we go through the word. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. In Colossians 3, verse 13, it says, bear with each other and forgive one another as you have, if any of you have grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. How has God forgiven you? If we don't believe that we're forgiven, we can't forgive those around us. If we don't connect with that. If the cross means nothing to me, I can't forgive those around me. If the cross has no power, I can't love those around me. I can't forgive those around us. When you go through what forgiveness is, look at that, how we have been forgiven. Again, let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 2. But you are a chosen people. God has chosen you to be his people. Are we listening to that call? A royal priest, I'll get to royal priesthood later. A holy nation. God's special possession. Do you realize you're a special possession? You are valuable to God. You're important to him. Not someone to be discarded. That you are important. That you may declare the praise of him that called you out of darkness into his, I always say marvelous, but wonderful light. It's amazing light. It's light. We get to get into the light, which is the second point we'll get to later. We need to bear with one another. Basically. And we'll go through what does that mean, how do we bear with one another, because it's not always easy. Do you realize we have an opportunity to bear with one another? Are we, when we come here, we come on Sundays, I'll go back to the slide, I know Dunk's shared this a few weeks and it's been shared a few times, we have three opportunities to bear with one another. It's often in Sunday service, it's very easy to bring the facade on Sundays. Oh, it's been a great week, don't need to show anything. But I think it's important to worship, but I think that's one of the meetings. Another meetings we need to be committed to is family groups. Are you in a family group? Are we connecting with people during the week? And another space is one-on-one. And it's often important because we need to be able to be open with those around us. Those are our close connections. Jesus had his closest people with him, right? He needs to be vulnerable with those around him. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he didn't bring everyone with him. It was just his close disciples. They were praying with him. We need to have these aspects in our lives. Let's go back to there. So we need to bear with one another. Amen. Bear looks funny. I'm not the best comedian, so I like to. I'm more a physical comedian, so I don't know how to bring comedy into the sermon. Amen. I hope you can get the idea. Because the message is going to be tough, Jen. Amen. We bear with one another. And I think transitioning into the second point, we all know John 3:16. Right? We often don't want to read the passage after that. John 3:16 says, what does it say? You can tell me. Anyone? For God so loved the world, so we are loved, that he gave his one and only son, gave Jesus. So we believe and might have eternal life. Right? But we often don't read verse 18. I'll read verse 18 there. But whoever believes is not condemned. Didn't want to condemn the world, but whoever believes is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God, God's one and only son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone does evil hates the light. Oof. And this is Jesus speaking here, so we know that. And will not come to light for fear of their deeds being exposed. They don't want to be exposed. Whoever lives by the truth, this is what Andile was sharing last week, the truth. There is one truth. Don't say there's many truths. There's one truth of Jesus. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the light. You can't get to say, I have my own personal truth. You're wrong. I'm sorry this morning. I'm saying something that's hard, but it's important to know. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. So there may be seen plenty that they have done and has been done in the sight of God. God knows what you do on a daily basis. He knows your life. He knows you with you in light and darkness. That comes to the second point. His people, if you are his people, we live a life in the light. And that might always be, that might be a wrestle, but we live a life in the light. Amen.
Come on, bro.
Amen. If you're his people, we live in the light. It says, but you are his special, his chosen people, a royal priesthood, I read again, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may be declare praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So if you're in the light, you're bringing others to this. That's the kind of point. We don't want to stay in the darkness. If you're in the darkness, you can't bring someone to the light. You can't, oh, I want to be a Christian. I don't know how to do it. I can't bring someone to be a Christian if I don't know how to do it myself. If I don't go to the light. I don't expose my own deeds. So here's people living the light. And that's a question we might answer this morning. How do we get to the light and remain there? Because you might get into the light, but maybe it's very tempting to go back to darkness. It's very tempting. Okay. Now I'll read. Let's go to John 3 to get a clarity. And Jesus tells us what to do there. All right, John 3. Let's go to John 3, please. Can we all turn there, please? On your phones.
Digital pages.
Digital pages. Amen. Amen. And Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, right? It's interesting how Nicodemus is in the dark here when he's speaking to him at night. And he has to clarify what's happening. It's such an amazing theme of darkness and darkness of light in the scriptures. Amen. Now, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'll read a few verses of importance. Right. Then there was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. Okay, he's a teacher, like me, hopefully. Many began to trust him, but Jesus didn't trust them. I jumped behind. After dark one evening, that's interesting, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. I'll read it again, verse 3. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot see God's kingdom unless you are born again. That's what Jesus says. Jesus clarifies again. What do you mean? Nicodemus is confused. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Well, that's weird. We can't go back to our mother's womb. Jesus clarifies again. Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can only produce human life, and the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. What is it saying here? You can tell me. We must be baptized. Jesus is very clear here. There's a spiritual baptism of water and a spirit. Okay? A mother is an amazing thing, but all she can do is bring human life. But Jesus here helps us bring spiritual life, truly. He gives us new life. And if you want to read the whole passage again, check if I'm correct, read it again. And there's many scriptures that speak about this. And it's crazy that this is John 3. What's after John 3? John 3:16. For God so loved his one and only Son. The scriptures are consistent. They're not inconsistent. They're not like confusing. We need to read it. We need to get into it. We need to dive into it. To emphasize this point a bit further, who gets the keys to the kingdom? Is it Andrew? No. Is it Duncan? Peter. Peter, right? Andila, maybe. It's not. None of us. Jesus speaks to Peter, right? He gives him the authority. So in Matthew, let's go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, let me get to myself. Matthew 16, verse 16 says, Simon Peter asked, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Peter acknowledged that Jesus is God, right? Jesus replied, you are blessed, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth, will be forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Interesting. So whatever Peter says goes. If he says something, we should follow what Peter's saying. Not that he's an amazing person. Jesus dies on the cross and he's resurrected. Then Peter is the foundation of the church, right? And what he says goes. Let's go to Acts. What does Peter say in Acts? This is after the day of Pentecost. The tongues of fire come down, right? The Holy Spirit's working there, right? In Acts, what does it say? It's a well-known scripture. Hopefully, we know that scripture. Because if you want to share this with someone else, we need to share the scriptures. We can't use our own opinions, guys. We have to hold on to God's truth. Okay, so let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified to be both Lord and Messiah. Jesus is Lord, and he is the Savior, not myself. I can't save myself. Only Jesus can save. Peter's words pierced their hearts and they said to him, brothers, what should we do? How do we respond? We're in darkness. What do we do? Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is to you and to your children and to all those who are far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. It's a calling we have to respond to. It's not just, okay, it's a cool thing. We are called. What are we called to? We're called to repentance. And I'll get to that a little bit more. We're called to baptism. We're called to forgiveness. When do we receive forgiveness? When we are baptized, we lay down our life and we were raised to new life in Christ. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We live a life in the light. The Holy Spirit is in the light. We receive forgiveness and we live this new life. Do we get baptized? Yes. Do we repent? Yes. All those things. It's like I always think of making a cake. If you're missing a key ingredient, you can't make a cake. If you're missing this key ingredient, you can't be God's people. You can't follow God because you're like, oh, you're still sitting in the dark. I can't be God's people if I'm walking in the dark. I can't tell you where to go. You're in the dark. I hope this is clear, guys, because it's challenging and convicting because we often are ummoning, oh, what does salvation look like? This is what salvation looks like. His people live in the light. And what do we do once we're in the light? Because it's often very tempting as people to go back to darkness. Right? It's very tempting to go back to darkness. You might be baptized. That's amazing. You've chosen God as your King and Savior, right? That's amazing. Please remain in the light. Keep repenting. Repentance is not just a baptism, it's a lifestyle. Right? I know for myself, I'll share vulnerably, when myself and my result were dating, I love my wife. I think I love my wife too much, so before we dating. It was so challenging to live the light. I stumbled and fell. I had to get open and be vulnerable with Duncan. I had to go. It was probably the hardest conversation I've ever had in my life. Be vulnerable about my sin and my death. If you're his people, it doesn't mean you don't sin. If you say you're without sin, you're a liar. That's what God's word says. But what are we doing? We're bringing our sin into the light so we can find healing, so we can be exposed and be helped. You might say, okay, I'm not enjoying this Christianity because you bring leaving things in the dark. That's why. I think that's what part of the reason we don't do well, because we are bringing things and putting them into darkness. Bring things to light. I've been so grateful. I've been able to expose things in my life, and I think pride's my main one I struggle with. But I have to bring that again to God. And when I do mess up, don't say the darkness. It's terrible there. You feel guilty. You feel shame. Bring it to the light. His people live in the light. Does it make sense, guys, this morning? And if you're his people, we're not staying in the dark ourselves. We're in the light. We're calling others to the light. That's why we have visitors. Welcome. Matthew 28, we hope we know the Great Commission. I'm going to read it because it's important for us to know. Jesus gives us his instruction, right? Before he ascends, what does he do? Gives us the Great Commission. Do we know the Great Commission, guys? Do we know it? Do we live it out? Do we live it in the light? It's one of the core scriptures we need to know. I've been discipled for 10 years. If I didn't know it, I'll be shocked. But some of us sit here and we don't know the scripture off our hearts. And Murray's always says, I don't know scripture so well. It's not because I've been amazing. People have been teaching me again and again and again. I've been in God's word. Not the best, not perfect, but I'm putting things into light. Jesus says at the end of Matthew 28, then Jesus said and told his disciples, all authority, I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. Does it say one nation? Only white people, Afrikaans, Indian? All nations. Get over yourself when it comes to one nation. No. All nations are meant to come to God. All nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And ensure this, I am with you always until the end of the age. That's the Great Commission. So if we are in the light, right, we bring others to the light. Is that clear this morning? If we're in the light, we bring others to light. If we're in darkness, we've been in the light and gone back to darkness, bring yourself to light. Because it's very hard to bring someone to light when you're in the darkness. Very, very hard. Repent. I'm saying out of love for you guys, honestly. And I've experienced myself in the darkness. It's terrible. It's terrible in the darkness. You can't see where you're going. You can't help someone be a Christian. It's hard. Very hard. Amen. That's why the third point's important. You might hear this amazing message, but what do we do on Monday? It's people obedience. It's people follow God's word, right? Once you're not a people, but now you're his people, we have to respond to it. Once you had not received mercy, now you have received mercy. We get mercy. We get to live this new life. But we can only get mercy when we are responding, we're obedient to his word. And I think, let Jesus share here with a parable. It's one parable in my heart when sharing this message. Let me go to the passage. Matthew 21, if you want to turn there. I want to camp here for a bit. Thank you. Amen. I need the encouragement. And then Matthew 21. Okay. All right. Jesus says, what do you think? There was a man who had two sons, right? He went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. Others said, I'll not. But later he changed his mind and went. And the father went to this other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir. But he did not go. Jesus asks, which of the two did what the father wanted? The first. Was the first son like happy to do what he was doing? Not necessarily, but he was obedient. But the second son is saying, I'll go, but never does anything. Doesn't work in the vineyard. So if we as people, we are obedient to his word. Did you guys hear that? If we are his people, we are obedient to his word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
He's just being obedient.
He's being obedient. Amen. So if we are obedient, we are obedient to his word. And I'll continue the verse. It says, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. Right? The worst people are getting into the kingdom before you. He's speaking to the Pharisees, the most religious and awesome-looking people. The tax collectors, the scum of the earth, is someone getting to the kingdom. How? Because they are obedient. For John came to show you the way of righteousness, but you do not believe him. Who's John? John the Baptist. What was he doing? It's in his name. John the Baptist. He was baptizing people. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. John was showing what to do before Jesus came. He didn't have the Holy Spirit, but he was showing what it's meant to happen. If you look, I'm not going to get the Old Testament because Old Testament's amazing. There's the same imagery. Old Testament, Noah's Ark, baptism. The temple, baptism. There's so many imagery. It's like if you see it, you can't unsee it. Right? If you're in the light, you can't unsee God's truth. Okay. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him. John's showing the way. But even after I showed you all the way, we're not responding. We're not answering to what John says. What John was sharing. And we don't believe Jesus and we don't believe John. Who are we going to believe? Ourselves. Are you going to save yourself? Make your own mini Noah's Ark. I always use the imagery. Your building will not hold. Your ark or boat will fail. Get onto his ark. Get onto his covenant. Be his people. Live it out. Get into the light. Hope that makes sense. Amen. And again, who are his people? And I think this is to emphasize a few points. How do we live as his people now? Who are his people? Matthew 12, verse 48 to 50. He replied to him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? He asked the question. Pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Jesus defines who his people are. How does he define it? Can someone tell me? What does it say here? Those who do his will. Doesn't matter which church you go to. Does it say that? Go to ICOC. Doesn't say that. It doesn't.
Praise Jesus.
I'm so glad it's not another case. I have to find the right church. No, it says be obedient to his word. Yeah. My family of God is those who are being obedient to his word. Yeah. That's what he says. So unfortunately, we can't define our family. He defines family, and there's a priority there that we see. His family is those who are obedient to his word. Are we perfect? No. I mess up. We all mess up. But that's why point two is important, right? What's point two? Get into light. Yes. We have to get into light. We're obedient, but we're obedient because we're coming to light. We're bringing things to light consistently. Does it make sense? Just to emphasize a few points. Jesus, First John, not John the Baptist, reads, this is how you know what love is. Jesus Christ, this is point one. This is God's love for you. How do you know what love is? Jesus Christ laid his life down for us. And we ought to say, ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Are we doing that? Are we laying our lives down for our brothers and sisters? I'll be honest, sometimes we're not. We need to grow this in this church. Are we laying our lives down for our brothers and sisters? Jesus gives us the example of the cross. We come here and we meet, but are we laying down our lives for our brothers and sisters? For us, it's easy to do those who are family members, but I think our spiritual families is, we're called to lay down our lives for brothers and sisters. It's an interesting and challenging scripture. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but I'm challenged by it. It's hard. I want to do this better. 1 John 4, verse 9 to 21. We love because he loved us first. Point one. We love because he loved us first, right? Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother and sister is a liar. Whoa, okay. If you don't love your brother and sister, you are a liar. Oh, no. Let me repeat that. That's wrong. Whoever claims to love God, if you claim to love God yet does not love his brother and sister, it's not speaking the truth, not living in truth, right? We're called to love our brothers and sisters, right? You can't say, I love God, I'm going to be by myself on an individual walk with God, but I don't love my brother and sister.
That's right.
We can't say that. Okay? That's why we're here. I'm so glad so many people are at church, but sometimes it feels like we need more people that are here. We bring more people to light. Amen. Okay, let me continue. Whoever does not love their brothers and sisters whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. I've not seen God. I don't know if anyone has seen God, but I've experienced God through his people. 10 years ago, when I became a disciple, and up to this point. Are they perfect? No. But we are calling those to love those around us. We're called to love those around us. But anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. I hope that point's clear. His people love those around them. Any questions? Or no, I'm not good questions. Mass. I'm a mass teacher. I always have any questions.
So many
questions. Amen. And I hope hopefully you're wrestling with this. I haven't taught for a while, so because I'm in holiday. So anyway, and I always say gents for some reason because I teach boys, so I always think gents. Any questions? We're doing mass. So okay. Main points. So again, to summarize. And we hope we get these ideas, and hope I've clarified some of these points. His people are loved and love. And you see, the scripture is very clear on that. You are immensely loved. But we don't just love ourselves, we love those around us. His people live in the light. So if you're in the darkness, we live in the light. Right? Correct? His people are obedient. And there might be more things to this. Duncan, if there might be more points, but I think those are the main things for me that feel applicable to the church this morning, that we need to live by. And hopefully, can stick and be sticky this morning. So let's go to Peter, and he gives us some practicals. Again, Jesus gave him the keys to the kingdom. And so how should we live this now? So let's go to 1 Peter 4, please. Let's all turn there on your phones or your devices. 1 Peter 4. So let's get to some practicals. Practicals from Peter. Amen. Are we there? Can I read?
Come on,
amen. 1 Peter 4, chapter 4, verse 1 to 11. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless wild living, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give an account to whom is ready to judge the living and the dead. Oof. We have to give an account. For this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. In the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and so mindful so that we may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have to have received to serve others. We're called to serve. As faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as if one speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So if you didn't catch any of that, I highlight some points and I've put in point form. There might be more there. I wanted to emphasize a few of them. So some practicals. How do we live this life now? How do we know we are loved? We love those around us. How do we live in the light? Now bring some practicals from myself as well, hopefully. Get your attitude right. Get our hearts right. We are called to have the same attitude. What is that attitude meant to be? Ones of servants. Ones of Jesus Christ. If we've been transformed to be like Jesus, we're meant to imitate him. And I know it's one saying I learned from Raj a long time back. Probably he learned from someone else. What is true of the king is true of his people. What is true of the king is true of his people. Right? So whatever Jesus went through, we as people go through. Not necessarily going on a cross, but we are called to bear our cross daily, right? We need to get our hearts right with God. We need to get our attitude right. Have the same attitude, a servant attitude. And it's a tough one. I think this one kind of links with all others. Live for God and not for your own selfish desires. And I'm not going to the list, but there's a whole list of things and idolatry, right? Most of those things are idolatry in the sense. We're not called to live for ourselves. We're not called to be selfish. So are we living a selfish life in the dark? Let's live a life for God. Amen. We're called to, this is a tough one, love each other deeply. Not just love each other, love each other deeply. And I put in brackets here in my notes, take the opportunity. Do we see coming to church as an opportunity to love someone? Our opportunity to see God. Coming to family group during the week is an opportunity to love someone. Oh, I'm tired from work. This is where you get refueled. This is where you get the word of God during the week. Why do you want to stay at home? Why? You have a whole bunch of excuses, yet we get to work on time every morning. But we don't want to come to family group. We don't want to connect with those around us. We're called to love one another. See it as an opportunity to love someone. Because the reality is, that person might be selfish that day as well. What do you do with that person that's selfish that day? It's an opportunity to love them and teach them, help them to be serving and sacrificial. Does that make sense? Because you won't always get a perfect Christian on a Wednesday. You won't. You might not. What do you do in that situation? Do you just go home?
Wise words, bro.
Exactly. You have to be able to love someone, love them deeply. Because when you're in that space, you're going to learn to love them deeply. Because you're going to get into that space. You're going to see what's their darkness and bring them out to light, right? Because we have to be taking the opportunity to bring someone else in. And if you're living in the light, that's amazing. But let's live in the light. Okay? And this is obviously with family groups as well. Offer hospitality, right? Without grumbling. The first instruction might be easy because we all offer hospitality. And I commend us as a church. We're very good at this. But without grumbling is the caveat. So we have, I'll go back to the slides then. We have opportunities to be hospitable, right? I know we are good at it, but do we do it without grumbling? Are we generous when we offer hospitality? I'm going to share this point I was thinking about yesterday. I didn't add it to my points, but I think it's funny how Jesus didn't have a place to stay. Isn't it funny? Like he didn't have an opportunity of hospitality. But how come he's the most hospitable person in the world? That's weird. He is. He lets us live. He gives us the life, breath of life. All of the creation is his. He's hosting us. And that's just an interesting point I thought about this morning. It might not be biblical, but I think he hosts us.
That's right.
Yeah, he hosts us. He's looking after us. He's given us the homes we have. He's given us everything. Amen. That's awesome. Anyway, but I think he's the best host in the world. So let's offer hospitality without grumbling. It's not always easy. And I know we are good at this, but let's wrestle with that. If you aren't hospitable, learn, right? And it doesn't, you don't need much. I know myself and Murray's all over a small place. We try to have people over all the time.
Come on, bro.
As much as we can. It's a small place. It's one lounge and one bedroom. But we have a nice garden, so you can, your kid can run in the garden there. We've had that a few times. But again, we want to offer hospitality. We don't have much, but we give whatever we have. Amen. Point five, use your gifts to serve one another. Be stewards of God's grace. Having a gift from God is a real gift, but we are called to be stewards of it. Right? So if you have the gift to worship, come up and worship. Don't say, I'm embarrassed. We'll teach you. Amen. If you want to preach, obviously we'll teach you how to do that. I'm still learning myself, so dunks is getting there. But use your gifts that you have. Right? Be stewards of His grace. So we are administering grace. It says, I'll go back to the point. It says, we are a royal priesthood. We're called to be a royal priesthood. We're called to represent God. Right? We're meant to be stewards of His grace. Our gifts is the main way for people to see God. But if you aren't using your gifts, how can people see God? Amen. Back to the point there. Point six, speak as if your words come from God. It's a tough one, but I think, are our words seasoned with salt? How do we speak? How do we talk to one another? When we speak to someone, is it words of encouragement or bring someone down? It's a tough one. I speak as if someone, you're speaking from God. And it's hard. You have to know the scriptures to do that. So that's often why I'm very quiet. You might say, oh, I'm a quiet person. I don't want to say bad words to you. If I'm quiet, I have to wrestle with my heart to get to the right, say the right things. Not that I'm perfect, but it's very easy to not want to speak God's word. It's very easy to have a murky heart, a heart in the darkness. But speak as if you're speaking God's word. If you serve, it's hard to serve sometimes. What does it mean? We need to use His strength. Rely on His Holy Spirit. It's not always easy to serve Him. Amen. I hope that makes sense. And lastly, the practical, we need to praise Him. We get to worship Him. We get to praise Him with every single thing we do. Amen. A few things before let Murray Zoll lead communion. I think if you're here this morning and you're saying, okay, right, I don't know what to do, just come into the light. Bring things into the light, right? Go to someone, practically. If in your marriage you're struggling, your things are in the darkness in your marriage, bring them into the light. That'll help your marriage, I promise you. I'm so grateful for my marriage because we bring things into light as a married couple. If there are things in our life, we expose each other, we bring things into light between each other, but if we need to bring it to someone else, we'll go to Duncan and Lisa. We'll go to people around us. And we're still learning that. We're still only a young married couple. But it's very tempting to bring things into darkness in our marriage. That's how marriages break. They live in darkness. And it's tough. If you're raising kids, I don't raise kids yet because I'm not a father yet. But I will, by God's grace, will be one. Amen. One day. How do you relate to your kids? How do you bring things into light with your kids? Are your kids in pornography, but you can be indifferent about it? They know about it. I'm pretty sure by the time they're at five, they're exposed to so many things. Are you taking safeguards to help them bring to the light? Because you can have the most best technology to block it off, but let them learn the idea of bringing things to light. It's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. But we have to bring things to light. What are you exposing your child to? And it scares me to bring a child into this world. Because there's so many things that are of darkness and are evil, that are corrupting our children. But you need to help them to understand, bring things into the light. Help them learn to be obedient. I think that's just some practicals from our side, I think, in terms of Scripture. And we can wrestle with it this week, hopefully, to bring things into the light, expose what needs to be exposed, and live as His people. I hope that makes sense this morning. At this time, my wife will share the communion message. Amen.
I will need this one. Morning, church. God's word in itself is so convicting at times. As I lead us into communion, I just want to start reading the communion verse, and then we'll go back and read it again, because there's quite a lot in it. First Peter 2, verse 19 to 25. So it's the same First Peter 2 we've been camping in most of the time. For it is a credit to you if, being aware of God, you endure pain while suffering unjustly. If you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, what credit is that? But if you endure when you do right and suffer for it, you have God's approval. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that, free from sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. At first, when I read this, I was very confused, and I didn't know what Andrew wanted me to do with this. and then, by God's grace, he showed me. But I mean, the main points that Drew brought up this morning is that we are loved and we need to love, and that we need to live in the light and we need to be obedient. And I think we all know these things. We know them, but do we practice them? And I think for myself, something I was saved from at first was hypocrisy. I would live this righteous life, but then there's darkness in the background. And I think bringing things to the light and being really convicted about this, I just want to share with you, my brothers and sisters, what I've been struggling with serving the church recently. As you know, it's a small church, so, and there's a lot to get done, so you find yourself in many ministries at a time. And the past few weeks I've been feeling a little bit burnt out, bitter and unloving, bitter about needing to serve, and then looking at others and judging them for not serving. And I actually am here today to ask forgiveness to all of you for my heart in that, because God recently opened my eyes and showed me what he saw in my heart, and I didn't like what I saw. I saw self-centeredness, self-righteousness, and prioritizing myself, my feelings, above God's desires and the needs of the church. I was doing the right thing, but my heart posture was not right. It was far from God. And I just was really convicted by verses like verses 16 in 1 Peter chapter 2 that says, living as servants of God, you know? Verse 5 that says, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. And then Drew also read 1 Peter 4, verse 2 that says, we are no longer live in the flesh for human passions, but for the will of God. 9 to 10, show hospitality to one another without grumbling, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. And I was convicted by the Holy Spirit. The church is God's bride. He prioritizes her very highly. So should I. I need to submit to him, let go of my feelings that's rooted in a stubborn and sinful heart, and see serving the church, serving his people, as serving him. The verses that I read, the communion verses, verse 19 to 25, talks about suffering, that we need to suffer. And when I read suffering, I often think of persecution. You know, like gun to your head, is Jesus Lord, you know, kind of situation. But I think God showed me that suffering can also be like dying to the flesh, you know. Whenever we do what we don't want to do, but we do what God wants us to do. Like those obedient, the obedient son didn't want to do it, but he did it. And I think that is suffering. Suffering when you're doing good, when you don't want to, when your flesh doesn't want to do the good. Christ suffered. He was the perfect example. Jesus was serving a lot of people. And often think about his ministry, how many people he served, and he was working long hours. He was exhausted. But he did good for his people, for his brothers and sisters, because that's what God wanted, and that's what he wanted. I think we know in our minds that we need to love, that we need to live in the light, and that we need to be obedient. But do we live it? And when we do good deeds, what is our heart posture? The people of God do not do good because they have to. They do it because it's the Father's heart, it's Christ's sacrifice, and through the strength of the Holy Spirit, we get to do good. He strengthens us to do it. God's people are called to love, to live in the light, and to be obedient. So with that in mind, I'm just going to reread 1 Peter 2, verse 19 to 25, and I'd like you to close your eyes and meditate on this. Maybe you need some insight or forgiveness like I did. For it is a credit to you if, being aware of God, you endure pain while suffering unjustly. If you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, what credit is that? But if you endure when you do right and suffer for it, you have God's approval. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that, free from sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Amen. I hope you just keep chewing on that as we take the communion and realize what Christ has done for us and the example that he set for us.